We're going to be talking about what real time is just in general. We'll talk about the more specific application here, SignalR. And then we'll build a very simple application, a very simple use case. I'm showing you this mostly because this is what helped me get SignalR. I really didn't get it until I went through this number three on the list, this simple SignalR example. And then finally, we'll be beating this geek quiz to death by hooking up real-time charts using SignalR. So here's, it's always easy for a browser to ask a server for something, right? You just make a request. But how does the server make a request to a client or pass information down to a browser? The problem is that the web is stateless, right? So a browser does a request to the server, server wakes up, says, oh yeah, I got that, sends the information back down to the browser, and then that's it. The server forgets that the client ever existed, right? There's no way for him to call him up and say, oh yeah, wait, there's more. So what we did in the past was the client browsers would just keep pinging the server. And they'd say, hey, anything new, anything new? And finally, the server would say, hooray, there's something new. And then, what do we do again? This is not efficient, right? There's a lot of things. There's delay in this. Every time, we have to have some kind of pause in each of these got data calls. Also, we're doing kind of a denial of service attack on our server. If we have, hundreds of clients, all of them pinging the server, this poor server is trying to just go, no, stop, don't make me turn this car around, right? So with real time, instead what we do is the client browser says, hello, I'm a modern browser, can we do real time? And the server says, yes, please, and so then they just do that, right? So this is a lot simpler. Now this is a two-way connection, and what we use here is SignalR. There's other things, Socket.io and stuff. I'm going to tell you why I think SignalR is cooler, but use any of them. The main point is real-time connection. This is constant. It's a lightweight connection, and it's real-time between the client and server. That means, essentially, that the server can call JavaScript methods in your browser, which is crazy. And then the browser can, of course, make calls to the server, but it's not so heavy like an AJAX request. It's just the client through a proxy just says, hey, let's just run some server-side code, right? Which is kind of mind-blowing. So what SignalR adds to this, there's this thing called WebSockets. WebSockets kind of, it's a protocol that allows doing this, real-time communications between client and server. What SignalR allows is it makes this a lot easier to work with. For instance, you don't have to learn a whole bunch or really anything about WebSockets, how they work. And handling all these like real-time socket-level communications is a little bit hard. There's all kinds of things about, did we start to make a request and the frame dropped or whatever, right? This is not something that I want to deal with. You can also use events if you'd like. So there's low-level, connection-level. You can talk at that level if you want, but we also have a hub abstraction where you can talk using events. So we'll see one in a second where we get an event when a client disconnects from the server. And then the server can do something about that. Connection management and also broadcast. This broadcast thing is really cool where you can have clients in groups. And so you have a bunch of clients connect and you say, well, these are in this one group and these are in this other group. For instance, there's a website, jabber.net, J-A-B-B-R.net, which was built by the guys that built SignalR. These are two ASP.net developers. They did this on their own free time. And it was an open source project. And then Microsoft said, hey, that's great, let's incorporate it. And so it's both freely available on open source. People are getting it to work on Mono and all this other stuff. And it also is shipped with and supported by Microsoft in Visual Studio. Crazy times we live in. But this thing about Jabber.net, which I was rambling on about, in Jabber, there's multiple chat rooms. And this is an example where we have these groups of clients. So we have a lot of people connected to one chat room. And I send a message to this chat room, and it broadcasts that message out to all connected clients of that chat room. But we don't need to send it to everybody. We only send it to people in that specific chat room. Make sense? So this whole thing of sending to groups is key. Also, if I send the message to my group, I don't really need to get that message right back, right? Because I just sent it. I know what I sent. So you can say, send to everyone in this group except for this one client. So this is a really cool thing that SignalR builds in, makes it one line of code to do that kind of connection and group management. Let me see. The real big thing, I think, that SignalR does is negotiate transport. What that means is there are a lot of browsers that support WebSockets, but there are a lot of older browsers that don't. And they can still simulate some kind of real time using some other kinds of transports, dropping all the way back to long polling for IE6. So what a lot of people do in a lot of other libraries will just say, sorry, you need, you know, one of these browsers. This only works in Chrome, IE10 and up, blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't need to do that. Like, we can give a pretty good real-time experience to people running IE9 or all the way back to IE6. So what SignalR does is for each client, when they connect, the server and the client negotiate the best transport. The server says, well, I can do real-time, and the client says, oh, sorry, I'm IE6, and says, that's cool. So for you, we're going to do long polling, but for everyone else connected, we're going to do WebSockets, right? So the cool thing with this is you can do real-time web, and you don't have to discriminate against, you know, users unless they're on, like, Netscape 4.7, which hopefully they're not. Okay? Does this make sense? This is a really, really cool feature. This means you can use cutting-edge technology, and you can support everybody. So one last thing to know about SignalR before I just show demos the rest of the time is that there's support for backplanes. And remember I talked about that thing, Jabber. There's also some Microsoft services that are using SignalR in production. Like, for instance, if you go to the Office web applications now. Is anyone using that, Office web apps? Super cool. Like, so you can go in and like Office 365 and Office Web. So if you have an Excel document, two or three people can be connected to it and editing it. And as you make changes, I can see those changes being made, right? This is actually powered by SignalR. So for things like that, when we've got a lot of people connected, even though SignalR is actually, and WebSockets in general, is very lightweight. It uses a lot less connection resources than the whole HTTP request, because it's every time it's like, hello, I'm a client. Okay, I'm a server. Negotiate. Oh, who are, you know, all that. But with WebSockets, it's a very lightweight connection, right? So we can fit tons of people on one server, but when you get to more than one server, you've got to keep them in sync. If we have two servers, and, you know, we've got, say it's a chat client, right? Huge chat. So we've got everybody's chatting on here. Then I get moved over to this server. Well, I want all these chat messages that are coming in here, right? So that means for me to get these messages, these guys need to communicate. And that's what a backplane is. It's a way of the glass talking to the coffee cup, if I may. So, sorry, a little punchy over here. So that's kind of what this backplane idea does. So we have different supported backplanes to allow doing that. Redis, and there's SQL Server, and there's also Service Bus support. Okay? Now it's time for some code. So I'm going to go to the simple case that helped me understand SignalR. Hopefully it works for you too. This is just an HTML page. All right? It's not MVC. There's no code behind for it or anything. So when this page loads, we're using some jQuery. Now we also have I've got some inline style, and I've got a reference to the SignalR script up at top. Okay? So this uses jQuery, and it says, create a proxy to the connection hit counter. So this is saying, on the server, there is a hit counter hub, and just get me a proxy to it. Okay? So the proxy means the JavaScript can talk to this proxy as if it's directly connected to the server. And that proxy is doing this real-time communication to the server. So now it says proxy.client. So this is saying server.client, call a method. So the JavaScript is calling a method on the server called onHitRecorded, which is crazy. Excuse me, I said that backwards. This is saying when the server method onHitRecorded is called, then execute this JavaScript on the client, okay? So here's that server method, here's that hub. So there's the onHitRecorded or excuse me, record hit. No. I'm sorry. Here it is. I'm backwards. So here, there's record hit on the server and on hit recorded on the client. Okay? So when the on hit recorded is called on the server, then it's going to execute this JavaScript on the client. So let me try and say that differently. When the connection starts, okay, so we've made our connection and everything's set, then we say server record hit. So this executes server-side code. JavaScript is calling the record hit method on the server. So now the hub says, okay, here's record hit. So what this does is it's keeping track of how many clients are connected to this server, to this hub.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yes.
There. When you say the client, it's actually requesting the server to execute it, I take it, ultimately.
Of course. Yeah.
But so it's just passing a request through that method, or that's actually... Is that the plumbing that's the same?
Yeah, there's a proxy. There's a JavaScript proxy between the client and between the JavaScript code and the server side hub.
And that's what SignalR is providing.
Yes, exactly. So, and SignalR actually automatically generates that JavaScript proxy for you. Okay? So, this page loads up. We have a connection. And then we have a connected client. So, we want to update our number, our count. So, the hit counter runs record hit. Record hit says we have another connected client, so we say hit count plus one, all right? Now, here's the thing. Now we want to tell everybody else that's connected, hey, we got a new person that's connected. So this says clients.all, so every connected client, call on hit recorded a JavaScript method and pass in the number, the new number, okay? So now let's look at on hit recorded. Which was this before. This is this JavaScript method. And this says use jQuery to update the div with an ID of hit counter and set that ID or set that new number. So let me run this. Hopefully this will make more sense when I show it. So if I start this up and I say default, okay, we have one connected client. So now let's add in a new one. Now we have two connected clients, right?
Now this is if you're all paying attention and talented, you'd all be pulling out your phones and laptops and connecting as well.
Except it's on localhost, unfortunately. Okay, so now we have...
I'm going to Azure already.
I know, I should. So now we have three connected clients, all right? So one is in, one is in Chrome and two are in IE. So now I'm going to close one of these, and they both drop down to two. And then I close another, and we're down to one. I close another, and, well, we're down to zero, but there's no one to tell about it, right? Okay, so again, now that we've seen what that's happened, every time a client connected, we added one to it. So every time a client connected, they ran this method, which said record hit. And then record hit in the hub fired, and it said, okay, add to our global count one, and then pass to every connected client our new number, and then... Each connected client ran this on hit recorded and said, okay, I got past the new number, show it on the screen. Does that make sense? Anyone follow that? Yeah, question.
How you decrease the count?
Excellent question. I always love it. There's a quick person that's paying attention and says, well, you skipped over something. So remember that I said we had events, and this is something that these hubs offer. So we have this on disconnected event. So this says whenever a client disconnects from the hub, then we can say subtract one, right? We say subtract one, and then we call the same on hit recorded method and we pass in that new number. So we client disconnects, we subtract one, we call on hit recorded, and on hit recorded executes and tells everybody and updates to this new number. Make sense? Yeah. Yeah, so the question is any way you can distinguish the clients. And yes, there's a really rich API where you can say clients dot. And so you can say, clients dot, and it has caller, will tell you, you know, the exact person that called. And you can say the client group. You can say clients.others, which means everyone but the client. So there's, and let me zoom in on this just in case. So, you know, here we have clients.caller would tell who was the person that called. Okay? So.
I have a question. How to trigger the...
Where am I looking?
Sorry. How to trigger the...
Okay, yeah.
Disconnect.
How to trigger disconnect. Well...
I know close browser you can trick. How about that the network is down? Will that be tricked?
Well, if... So on the server, you get an on-disconnect method.
Yeah. On the client, if my network plug out...
So I don't know exactly, but I would be shocked if there wasn't like a proxy.server.something. Server dot... I don't know. We have connection. I'm sure there's something. Honestly, I don't know the exact thing, but I'm sure that the API, you know, gives me an event for that in JavaScript. There's JavaScript that's being injected, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yep. Yeah, so, and that JavaScript, so that is that proxy. And so if we show that here, this is showing, it's not there yet. Oh, because I didn't go to default. So yeah, here's this hubs, and this is JavaScript. It's a JavaScript proxy that's being generated, right? Okay, so this is, what I want you hopefully to get out of this is that when you have a real-time connection, it's not just that we can pass things back and forth really quickly. It's that you can write a different kind of application because you can essentially, because of this proxy, you can, you know, the client can, you know, execute methods on the server and the server can execute methods on the client. Now, of course, there's authentication and security and all these things, but from the application kind of putting things together point of view, you're basically writing code on the server that's executing code on the client and vice versa. So that's pretty cool. I want to show a few quick examples just of things people have done with this. So one is, that was weird, I saw myself there. so here's an example, Malkovich. So here's Jabber.net. This is the thing I was talking about where it's a chat client. So this is kind of a, you know, not too crazy, we've all seen chat clients, but this is a, you know, multi-user powered immediate chat thing, and you know, people are in here. Like if we go to the ASP.NET MVC room, these are, you know, currently people that are currently in the room and talking. There's a lot of different rooms actually, and usually a pretty good number of people online. So if we go, you know, here's some current rooms and people online. So this is pretty cool. This actually, I believe, is running in websites, and it uses Service Bus on the back end and stuff. And they have a lot of cool little features. Like for instance, if you paste in, you know, animated GIFs, then it'll show them in line and stuff. That's my favorite animated GIF of all time. And so that's Jabber. Let's take a look at another one that's a little more complex called Shooter. Shooter is, you know, taking this a little further, which is, this is a full game. This is an HTML5 game using Canvas. And we've had, during presentations at large conferences and stuff, like Scott Hanselman would say, hey, everybody, log into this thing. And we've had like 400 people online at a given time. So you can, you know, fly around on here. And I used to be good at this, but lately I just get blown up like crazy. But this is, you can go to shooter.signalr.net. And, you know, we're playing real time, and this is multiple people. This is a full game loop. It does, the code is out on GitHub, so if you go to, if you go on GitHub, you can find, this is my one thing where I fly backwards. Sometimes that works. And if you're using IE, they give you one cool feature where you can double tap on W, and you get like a little power boost. So it's like one extra, see, there I go, with a little power boost. So. And I'm going to get out before I get blown up again. Ha ha. So those are some kind of examples of things that people have done. I want to now apply this to our Geek Quiz. So let's go in here. So the scenario is we've got our live running Geek Quiz, and we want to be able to watch in real time how people are doing. So I will show you, first of all, we've got a hub, and this hub will surprise you because it is a very empty hub. So all this hub does is say, I exist, right? What's cool is our C-sharp code can talk to this hub from elsewhere. So if we say find all references right here, we can see that this is actually called from our statistics service. So our statistics service is called during the course of when people make changes, when people answer a question, then we call notify updates. And notify updates then calls, says hubcontext.all.updateStatistics. Okay? So first it generates statistics, which is a kind of boring query where it goes through and calculates out what the statistics are. And then clients.all, this is the exact same code that we saw before with our hit counter, but now we're passing out more information. And we just call update statistics stats, and actually stats is a statistics view model, which is a kind of complex object, and it automatically serializes it and passes it out to every connected client. Cool? So now our client code, we have a new statistics controller, a statistics action in our homepage. So we've added this in. So when someone browses to the statistics action in the home controller, so what URL are we using to do that? /home/statistics, right? So that's the home controller and the statistics method. So when we call in to do that, then we say, go get me the statistics and return view. So now if we skip out of this and we look at that view, so I'll say go to view. So this view is kind of cool. It is actually using Flotter2, F-L-O-T-R-2, which is an open source library, and it actually is using it's using Canvas. There's also a lot of great modern JavaScript libraries that can use SVG. This one happened to work pretty well for what we're doing. So we create a data model. And then we just call into the show charts, and show charts actually is going to do the hard work of rendering it out. Okay. So, and it's just making those specific calls. Actually, I want to see it. Show charts. You want to see it too, don't you? Anyone awake? Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's say it is. I'm going to finish early. I just want you guys to know it's 4:09, and I had till 4:30, and I'm going to be totally early. So,
quick question.
Yes.
Is there a limit on the number of simultaneous connections?
It's really high. I think they've tested for thousands. I don't know where I'm looking, but they've tested for thousands of people. It really is just kind of when your server starts slowing down. But they've tested it at thousands of people. They actually did some really high-end engineering to change at the fundamental level how they were storing the information. So they dropped down to storing at a more byte efficient level the user state, because they when you've got many, many people connected and they all have a socket, but you don't need to have all the current, you don't need to be talking on all those channels all at once, only when new information's there. So they do some really, really efficient stuff. I just remember when they were talking about it, I'm like, that's some serious stuff. So anyhow, they've been tested in the many thousands of connected clients per server. So here this is just calling into, this is showing the chart, actually. So let's run it, because it's going to be great. And here's actually this update left chart and update right chart is calling into this Flotter thing, this library, and it's running a chart. So I'm going to open up two of these windows. I should probably close my window showing myself because it's just freaking me out. Okay, so I'm going to have Chrome, and I'm going to have IE running together as friends. If Chrome will run, okay, good.
So we've actually been live streaming this. About 100 plus viewers online have been following along with you guys.
Yep. Hopefully I got it. Okay. So we have, you know, the chart or the site on one side, and let's go in here, and I'm going to browse to statistics. So home/statistics. Okay. So this is a chart showing. You know, number of people, or you know, the ratio of right to wrong, right? What year did Hanselman join Microsoft? Guesses?
Seven.
Right. Next question: How big is a nibble? 4 bits, 8 bits, 16, or 2 bits? Half a byte, so 4 bits, right? So do you see over on the right as I'm answering these? It's actually easier to see if I get wrong. You can watch that red getting bigger. You see that? Oh. I know. So that's pretty cool, right? So we have live updates going out to one browser, could be thousands of browsers, many people connected, and they're getting their updates immediately. Yeah?
If we have old browsers in the mix, do you need to modify your HTML code to support all the browsers, or the jQuery will take care of that?
Great question. So do we need to write any code differently for older browsers? And the answer is really no. jQuery should work back to, like, I believe IE6, depending on which version of jQuery you're running. Newer ones are dropping support, I believe, for IE6.
So if it's not supporting the like correct protocol, it will fall back and
fallback. Yeah. So the SignalR handles all that fallback. And so let's say I've got 3 people using IE10, 1 person using IE11, and 1 person using Chrome. All those people are going to get WebSockets. And then I've got 2 people using IE6. They're going to get long polling, and it all handles each connection like that. Yep. Question?
Actually, could you try? I don't know if this works, but they have 12 functionality. Can you actually force that browser to behave down level? Or is that not quite the same? I've always wondered about that feature. Does that actually make it behave that way, or does it just give it the user string saying that?
Yeah, no. So that's a good question. So if I go into here,
on the chart,
it does change the actual rendering and execution of the browser to match that.
Yeah.
That
you're emulating. This.
So
yeah,
it should actually, if
yeah. So there's actually 2 settings here. There's the document mode. Yep. So there's a document mode in the browser or user agent string. So this is what we report to the server. This is who we say we are, and this is the document mode. But that's just the document mode, and I don't believe that changes the like full-on underlying
JavaScript parts and the more complicated parts.
So
what's that tool where you can run multiple versions of IE? There's expression browser
swarm. Yeah. So I'm not sure how that would, but anyhow, so there's that. Some other cool things to know if we go to ASP.NET SignalR. So this is on the ASP.NET site where it, you know, talks about all the different things you can do with it. So, you know, we have things like security. Obviously, that's important. Security, like, for instance, a case where we've got a private chat room, which is supported in Jabber, or you're editing your own document in the Office online stuff, and you don't want other people to, there's security for that. Performance and scaling, and that talks about things like scaling out using a backplane. One other thing that's cool is if we go to SignalR on GitHub. So I think I can go GitHub SignalR. So here, SignalR, there's other stuff. I showed you that thing for Shooter, which is that game, and this is the full-on code for doing that. SignalR actually has been tested to there's client code in SignalR to run on other platforms, like Windows Phone. There's a lot of different, you can use your like a Windows Store or WPF app, even a console app can connect to sockets, right? So you can think, again, like we did with the services using Web API, you can think of the same kind of scenarios using SignalArc to push information out to a device. You know, I talked to somebody, I gave this presentation in San Diego, and somebody came up and said, you know, we have a business for restaurants, and we want to notify people when their seat is ready. Could we use SignalR for that? I'm like, if you can do HTTP and WebSockets, or even, you know, modern something where we can fall back to, sure. And so then they can get a real-time server-to-client push of this data. So again, this is something where, you know, think past just the cool browser things. That's what's easy for me to demo here. But it can be, you know, devices, it can be applications, it can be phones, it can be whatever. So that's really pretty much it. I believe So that's it. So, you know, what's funny with SignalR is it's mind-blowing, it's really cool. At the base of it, I showed you that hit counter, and I fumbled through it at the beginning, but the idea of hit counter really is pretty simple once you look at it. And the idea is that you have JavaScript code going through a proxy calling code on the server. And then you have server-side code going through the same proxy calling JavaScript on the client. So you can really think of your application as just one big app calling code back and forth across each other. Then because of that, we were able to do a few things. We showed it running in this GeekQuiz application, and we also can then, you know, extend it to run in whatever else you'd like. Questions? So we're actually kind of ahead of schedule. If we have just kind of general questions before, like I'm going to be taking off and Mark's going to be covering the recap at the end, but we're actually a little bit early. So, yep, question, sir.
While we were through this, I did download the toolkit.
Yeah.
Is that going to be updated? It seems like the SignalR demo, I don't think, is in there. I couldn't see it. Or the real-time geek quiz wasn't there.
Well, it should be. Let me look at what I've got.
Or maybe the end question is, I noticed that was deployed through WebPI.
Yes.
So if there's changes, will that sort of generate
Absolutely.
Automatic?
Yeah, so that's update? The idea is we're going to be deploying that through WebPI. Now, WebPI, you still have to go and...
Launch it.
Yeah, you have to launch it to get
but
the updates.
But that would refresh the sort of deployment?
Yep.
Excellent. Thank
yep.
You.
So if we go in here, demo, I'm curious about that.
So I was wondering what he's talking about. So this is that training kit, the webcams kit that we've been talking about that he went and downloaded. It's constantly being modified and updated, and we're actually gathering your feedback here. So you've seen that slide talking about doing evals. So we actually take some of that feedback and we'll update as appropriate. But let's see if that demo's in there.
So I'm actually seeing that demo there. So
Which one is it called?
It's called Geek Quiz
Real-Time
Charts.
I was thinking that was the Excel one that you said earlier. All right.
Yep. So, so this should all be there. Oh, you know, this not related, but a good question we heard a few times. There have been some questions over the day of what version does this run in and all that. Excellent questions. And so a lot of the cool, you know, some of the cool features we showed, like stress testing and Web Essentials, those are, you know, not going to work in the Express version. But Visual Studio Express is free and does just about all we showed today. So if you go to the ASP.NET site and you don't have 2013 installed, and you want to run it locally, if you click through on this, it will install ASP.NET and WebTools 2013, which is basically Visual Studio Express. So this is free, and you can just start using it. So somebody was asking, like, hey, in my dev shop or in my class, we would like to start, you know, working with MVC5 or Web API 2, but we all have Visual Studio 2012. That's fine. These install side by side, and you can install Express 2013 and go to town. The only things that you don't get are like some of the more advanced browser link features and the Web Essentials, where you can go through and you know, do inspect and stuff like that, which are great features, but you know, the core of what we've showed you today is Web API and MVC and the one ASP.NET and all that stuff's there.